have to put me on a leash. I realized I was sitting here. I didn't see the video. I was so thinking about the message, I didn't see the video. But I had to, anyway, I thought that's weird. All right, anyway, this morning I want to take time to talk to you about praying for your pastor. Now, that may seem a little strange, but you know, Paul, if you read Paul's writings, many times he personally asked for folks to pray for him. And I wanted to talk about some areas you can pray for your pastor. Brother Bill's not here, and Brent's here, though. And but anyway, I thought it'd be a good time. I felt impressed to do it, so that's what we're going to do this morning. I have eight different things I want to touch on this morning. That's the end of the message. I've asked three of the guys to stand, and we're going to close, and they're going to pray for these guys. I'm going to kind of, starting out with is the first one that I wanted to mention this morning is to pray for their protection from temptation of Satan, of the devil. And, over the years, I watched men fall, good men fall. I know probably one that's well known was Jimmy Swagger. And I'm thankful that he kind of got things back together again. And he really kind of went through a time in which he was under the discipline of his church. Now, Jimmy's not a Southern Baptist. He's Assembly of God. But I've seen plenty of Southern Baptist pastors fall and many others, well-known and not so well-known. And some got it back together and some didn't. They got out of the ministry altogether. Many of them had great ministries, godly people, I really believe. But listen, the Bible tells us that David was a man after God's own heart, and he fell. When I was mentioning Swagger, I had a friend who was in Peru. He was a missionary there, and Swagger's ministry, I don't know if some of you know this, he had more missionaries on the field that he was financing through his ministry than Assembly of God's did. Than the whole denomination did. And I had a friend that was on the mission field at that time, and I called him a Babacostal. But anyway, we went to seminary and college together. And Swagger and them just gave him, they needed a bus, and he just gave them a bus. He bought them a bus and just gave it to them. And I think that was great. And I just, I believe there's a lot of godly men, and sometimes you see them fall and stumble. That doesn't mean that they weren't godly people. That meant that they allowed themselves to succumb to temptation. And just like David did, when he didn't go out with this army, if you read the passage in Scripture, and then later while he's at home, he got in more trouble, which he ended up in an affair. And there was chaos in his home all the time after that. Once in 1 Chronicles 21, 7 verses 1, 7 and 14. I've got those out, and this is just another story about David. They were not supposed to count. Lord did not want them to count all of their men, all their soldiers. What they do, they kind of take a census of all the men of age to go to battle. It's kind of a pride thing, kind of trusting in their numbers, and God didn't want them to do it. Satan stood up against Israel and incited David to count the people of Israel. This command was also evil in God's sight, so he afflicted Israel. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 Israelite men died. The people also knew he wasn't supposed to do it too, but they went along with it to count them, and then God just reduced his numbers. But the point is that good men can make wrong decisions and can get tempted and to draw into sin, and we need to lift our pastors up. No pastor is perfect. Okay? There's only been one. All right? And you know who he is? He's Jesus. Okay? He's the only perfect person. And Be alert. The scripture, be alert and be sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for somebody to devour. Peter wrote that, and he wrote that to pastors, okay? He's reminding them. But we need to be in prayer for our pastor always. Luke 4, 12 through 13, Jesus answered and said, "It is said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil has finished all this temptation, he left him until an opportune time." And I just want to mention that Jesus tempted in the wilderness. And by the way, he was tempted more than this. This is one time. But if you'll read the scriptures close, you'll realize Satan came more than one time to Jesus. More than this particular wilderness experience. But this is the very last one. And he answers the Lord with scripture, which the Bible says, resist him and he'll flee. And he did. But I want you to notice something else at the very last. And this is Luke. The other gospel does not put this part in there. But Luke, it says, and he left him until an opportune time. An opportune time. You know, Satan knows when we're more vulnerable. Okay? When are you more vulnerable? Are you more vulnerable when you're tired? Any of you ever get a little sharp? You know? Does that happen when you're tired or stressed? But you know, Satan knows when the more vulnerable time comes. And he can attack. There are times in a minister's life when things are, well, more stressful. There's more pressure. And you need to be in prayer for him. The Father, it says here in Luke 22 and 42 through 44, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." The angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthened him, and being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. His sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Now, I believe that in this passage, we see that the Lord was being tempted again, and that's the reason he affirmed, he resisted Satan with this affirmation when he says, "Not my will, but your will be done." Satan will be after us until the very end of our life. And so I encourage you to continually pray for your pastor. And the other one, I only encourage you, if he can't get the pastor, he'll try to get the family. You probably have heard stories of pastors' kids, okay? Sometimes, you know, the ministry kid, when I became a pastor, when that time came, and I was growing into it, there's a lot of talk about pastors losing their families because they were so involved in the ministry and so involved in everybody else's problems and trying to help everybody else that somehow their own families got neglected. And so I encourage you to pray for their families. If the devil can, he'll get the pastor he can't get the pastor, he'll try to get the family. He will work on the family. 1 Timothy, Paul makes the emphasis on the importance of the pastor having his family under control and having influence upon them. This saying is trustworthy. This is 1 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer or pastor, he desires a noble work. And an overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-control, sensible, respectable, hospitable, and a teacher, not addicted to wine, not a bully, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not greedy. One who manages his own household completely, having his children under control with all diligence. If anyone does not know how to manage his own household, how will he take care of God's church? And so you need to be praying for them. As they, their home, if Satan can, he'll attack their home, he'll attack their children, attack the marriage, and lift them up in prayer. You need to be praying for the pastor's preaching. God has chosen that the preaching of the word be a significant key to growth. He says in Ephesians, he says, and he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what purpose? For the training of the saints in the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ. In 1 Thessalonians he says, don't despise prophecy, but test all things. Hold on to what is good. And he's saying, you know, a lot of time he's speaking to the importance of prophecy. And in Corinthians he says, in 1:21 he says, For since in God's wisdom the world did not know God through wisdom, but was pleased to save those who believe through the foolishness of the message preached. And again in Colossians it says, I have become its minister according to God's administration that was given to me for you to make God's message fully known. Now folks, you need to be praying that preacher brings the message God wants him, that he will have strength and discernment and as he studies the scripture. There's another thing though as far as that is that you can be praying, and the fourth thing, pray for the pastor to be bold in proclaiming the gospel. Listen, there's some things that are just kind of sometimes hard to preach about. And you get there to the scripture. They're hard to preach about, really, is because you know that they're going to touch somebody. And sometimes people, you know, you can speak and people are receptive. And sometimes they're not receptive. And sometimes it's going to make somebody mad. And sometimes they're going to get after you about it. Sometimes they create problems for you in church. When I was in one of my churches, I preached on a series of message. I stepped on some folks' toes, and for the next 3 years, they were letting me know about it. I mean, they stayed mad, which was only an indication that what I said they should have paid heed to, and because it wasn't me saying it, it was the Lord speaking to them, and that often happens. Sometimes when a preacher is preaching, he says something that offends somebody because it touched where they were. Instead of recognizing that God's speaking to them, they become angry and resist it. But anyway, Paul wrote this. He says, pray also for me that the message may be given to me when I open my mouth to make known with boldness the mysteries of God. I really tell the truth as far as preaching, have seen more persecution, if you don't call it persecution, or harassment from believers than unbelievers. And that's usually the experience with most pastors, but not always. When I was in the Northwest, I had pastors from Russia, and when they were in Russia and they preached, they were thrown in jail by the government. So it's not always. So you need to be praying for them that they'll be bold. Say exactly what God wants them to say, no matter who it upsets. As long as God's wanting them to say it, that they'll go ahead and be able to say it with boldness, with gentleness, but say it. The fifth thing I'd want to ask you to pray about is pray for his perception or his wisdom, ability to make right choices in all decisions. Now, in 1 Kings 12, 3 through 4, Rehoboam makes the wrong decision and he divides Israel. I mean, he divides Israel because he made the wrong decision. You need wisdom. They need wisdom. We need wisdom. We need to perception, the right perception, how we perceive things, how we understand things. You know, I had a conflict in a church. It was going on through when my staff members and my deacons got in a conflict, and it went on for 15 months. You think you had it worked out? Then it didn't get worked out. I mean, because you're dealing with people, some things just don't happen real smooth. you need wisdom in what to do in difficult situations. And you need wise counsel a lot of times to be able to sit down with somebody and say the things that they need to hear to help them. 1 Peter in the 5th chapter 2, it says, shepherd God's flock among you, not as overseers, but not out of compulsion, but freely according to God's will, not for money, but eagerly, not lording over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. The pastor's there. He's got this responsibility. He's got to have the right motive. He's got to have the right heart. As he ministers to the flock. In Colossians 1, 9 through 10, it says, for this reason also, since the days we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. Let me just simply say, Paul was praying for the church, these things. And I want to tell you, you can pray these things for the pastor. Okay? Sometimes you see things in that you'll read through the scripture and it'll be talking about the praying, and you'll see Paul talking. He prayed these things for the church, and you can pray them for the church. But I want to also encourage you to pray them for the pastor. There is struggles in ministry some of you are going to know about. And there's going to be struggles that some of you won't know about. But when you know about something, you know that there's a struggle going on and there's things your pastor's dealing with. You may not know what to say to him. You may not know how to help him. But you can, as I told the kids, you can always pray. You can always cast your cares upon the Lord and lift him up. You can pray for his passion. Depression and discouragement and emotional exhaustion, I'll get it out, are very serious problems for many pastors. And let me just simply say, I had to deal with depression once. I don't know if I probably told some of you this, but anyway, when I was out in the Northwest, a long ways from my folks, my dad had Alzheimer's and my mom had him at home. And up until the last 5 months, he had it for 5 years. And then she finally put him in a unit. And I got to come home a few times, but every time I come home, you know, it finally got home. When I came home the last time, he didn't know me. Matter of fact, I'm not even sure he knew I was sitting next to him. And then went back and Dad passed away. And then in less than a year, Mama passes away. And then, and that was in February. And in March, Karen comes down with cancer. And during that time, I had the church conflict. I was coming back. And I found myself depressed. I didn't realize it. The first thing I noticed is that I've always been self-motivated. And it was hard for me that I was having to make myself do things that I knew I should feel like, hey, okay, I just ought to be able to jump right in there because I normally had it. But I was struggling with it. And it dawned on me one day. I was just praying, and that, hey, this is depression. That's what that is. And then I said, Lord, what am I going to do? And he said, you need to start praising me. And I did. I just started intentionally, even though I didn't feel like doing everything had to be forced. That had to be forced. But as I began to praise him, it just kind of broke away. Okay? I'm going to tell you this. A pastor can struggle with these things. He can find himself depressed, discouraged, or emotionally exhausted. And you can pray for them. And if you see signs of that, or you see they're going through a struggle, pray for them. Now, I'll say that since you're here, Brent. Ask for prayer. Okay? Because if you see Paul asked a lot of times. And always be willing to ask. And I'm not sure that I always did. But I was fortunate. I had some guys I knew. I knew they were praying for me. Pray for his perseverance and endurance physically. Wait a minute. I think I skipped a couple. Let me back up just a minute. And read the verses I want to have with. In Corinthians 1:11, it says, my brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's households have informed me that there are quarrels among you. Quarrels and conflicts within the church is something a pastor sometimes has to deal with, and it can really get you down. It's really an emotional struggle. He says, then it says, in Corinthians 5th chapter, it says, it is actually reported there is sexual immorality among you. And of a kind that even the pagans do not tolerate. A man sleeping with his father's wife. And you are proud. And shouldn't you have rather gone into mourning and had put out of your fellowship the man who had been doing this? And hey, there is sometimes immorality or sin within the church. And that troubles a pastor. And not only that, sometimes how he has to deal with it. 2 Corinthians 11:28. Besides everything else, I face daily pressures of my concern for all the churches. And he's concerned for his church and what's going on in his church. And if he feels like the people are spiritually growing or maturing. And First Thessalonians, I believe this is. It isn't Thessalonians. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you, and that our labors might have been in vain. So Paul was concerned for the church, the pastor's concerned for the church, and when the things are not going well or don't seem to be going well, it can really be an emotional struggle. Now in 7, pray for the perseverance and endurance physically. There are certain times of the year, physically, it was always harder for me. Why was it hard? Well, summers, mainly. I'll tell you the reason why. I always ended up mowing the yard. Most of the time, I ended up having to mow the yard, okay? So I would mow the yard. I'd mow the churchyard. I'd mow the pasture. That, you know how it is, trying to keep up your yard. Well, then I'd be getting ready for church camp and vacation Bible school. Okay. I always had a week in between, but you always had that long range preparation that you're getting, and you're trying to get everybody lined up and all that. Then you got that last week right before an event, and you got to get everything set up and kicked up, and then you kick the event off. And it's the same thing with church camp. You're getting all your workers, you're getting everybody lined out, you're getting everybody enrolled, and then that last week you got to get everything packed up, and sometimes summer was physically very hard. And as I got older, it got harder. But I want to simply say that you need to be praying. They have the physical endurance for it. The church prayed for Peter's deliverance from prison. God delivered him. Romans, the 15th chapter, in 30 through 32, it says, "Now I implore you or urge you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, to agonize together with me in prayer to God and on my behalf, that I may be rescued from the unbelievers in Judea, that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that all, by God's will, I may come to you with joy and refreshed together with you." In the 15th chapter, 30 through 31a, he says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the Lord, I typed that over again. That's what I did. Excuse me. All right. In the 15th chapter, here we go. No, wait a minute. I got the wrong reference down here. All right, let me go redo this again. "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ, by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying to God for me, praying that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea, that the contributions I take to Jerusalem may be favorable, received of the Lord's people there, so that I come to you with all joy and by God's will in your company and be refreshed." Now in Corinthians, he says, "For we don't want you to be unaware, brothers, of our afflictions that took place in the province of Asia. We were completely overwhelmed beyond our strength, so that we even despaired for life. However, we personally had a death sentence within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raised the dead. He has delivered us from such terrible death, and he will deliver us. And we have placed our hopes in him that he will deliver us again. And you can join in helping with prayer for us, so that thanks may be given by many on our behalf for the gift that comes to us through the prayers of many." And let me, there's many kinds of struggles in the pastor. There's many different ways a pastor. There's many different things that I can't mention, and so many things that are different. You say, "Well, Brother David, do you ever have a death sentence on you? You ever felt like you were in danger?" Well, I will tell you this. You know, I had somebody come in my yard with a gun, okay, and they were hunting to shoot me, okay. And the guy was a dopey, and he was caught up in drugs and alcohol, and he was been beating his wife. And she was pregnant, and she had a little child. And he thought I had come and got her, which I was going to, and send her to Temple. I think she lived in Temple, Texas, and send her home. But the sheriff beat me to it. But he thought I'd helped her go home, and he came out, and he was all upset about it. And you know, you just never know. I had somebody come up to our house late at night that had been at the bar down the road from us, and she had stabbed a man. She wanted to come in the house. You never know. We took her in and called the sheriff. There's things that, you know, you need to be praying. Some things you can't anticipate, and some things they can't anticipate. They're just those strange things that happen. Sometimes there's danger with them, and sometimes it's just, how do we handle this? Sometimes there's great physical strain. I have a great admiration for those guys that are bivocational. We have a lot of them in our association. They have to work a full job and have the pastorate. I've done that before. It was one of the hardest things I ever did. And some of these guys have been doing it for years. The last thing I want to mention today is praying for their priorities. That's important. You know, there's many important things in your life, and there's many important things in the pastor's life. And there's certain times these certain things need to take priority. Okay. There's family, and there's church, there's VBS, there's camp, there's youth, there's children, there's seniors. I remember, and you know, it doesn't get it. You may have a lot of struggles going on, and then you can have something else come in on top of it all. And you're trying to figure out. I was in a church, and I've never had this before, but I had 9 people in a hospital. And I believe it was 5 different hospitals and 5 different cities. And I was just kind of going to one and the other, and I never had that before. You just don't know. There's new things that can come up on them, and I just want to encourage you to pray for their priorities. Acts 6:2-3. So the 12 gathered the apostles together and said, "It would be right for us. It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word." Now, if you're familiar with this, you know this comes out of Acts, and this is when the early church is starting. Remember, they had 3,000 souls saved right off the bat. There was already at least 120 in the church. I mean, there were that many in the upper room praying, so we assume, you know, there's at least that many. And so you got this 3,000 souls, and these guys were trying to take care of all the widows and all those that were poor and that needed food and needed assistance, and trying to preach the word. And there was a rumbling started. Remember, I talked about conflict. These guys had to figure out a way to solve the conflict. But they realized for them in the early church and its beginning what the importance at this time was for them to preach the word. That was part of the reason a lot of them were hanging around Jerusalem now after Pentecost, was to hear the word and have a chance to grow, to get understanding, realize that there wasn't no New Testament then. It was being written at this time. So he says, "So the 12 gathered all disciples together and said, it would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers and sisters, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit." Then he goes on to say, "For we will turn this responsibility over to them and will give our attention to prayer and to the ministry of the word." Keeping priorities are important. And you need to be in prayer for our pastors to keep the priorities in their life important. What needs to be up front? When it needs to be up front? The first thing that they're focused on. And let's all stand. This morning I wanted to end the service a little different. Obviously, I'm not going to have an altar call, but I asked 3 of our men to pray for our pastors, both Brother Bill and Brother Brant this morning. I want to encourage you to lift them up. Now, when God puts them, especially if God speaks to your heart, says it's just a need. Have you ever had somebody, God put somebody on your heart? You be sure you pray when that happens. But if you notice something, you see something, see a struggle they're with, you pray that they'll have the wisdom and guidance they need. You see them, you feel like they look a little tired. Pray for their strength. Right. Guys, I believe we're going to start with Sam first, please.
Our Heavenly Father, just praise you and come to you, Lord. Asking that if you do watch care of Brother Pastor Bill and his family as they travel, I just pray that they remain faithful of your word. They have the fellowship they make with you.
Yes, Lord.
Guide us in the life. Lord, that they'll be obedient to everything you do and can have joy in that. And Lord, I just pray for their strength and their endurance and boldness as they lead their family first, Lord. And just strengthen them and their family. And Lord, they strengthen that fellowship with you. And then, Lord, strengthen them as they obey to you and lead the youth and the people of our church and congregation. We just, Lord, give them strength and joy in that word. And we just want to lift them up for you, to you, Lord. These things we ask in thy name.
Heavenly Father, I ask that you protect Bill and protect him from the evil one and all the darts that are thrown their way and all over their path. As they will continue to come under attack as they proclaim your name. I ask that you would give them a clear vision of what you want for this group that we here, as they equip us to move forward in ministry in this community.
Amen.
And I pray that you give them good health and strength and perseverance and just a passion for claiming your word boldly to us. Thank you for the way in which they serve us. Help us to help them as we work to bring this community to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Let's God here, Heavenly Father, thank you for this Lord's day, and thank you for the leadership of this church to bring our two ministers to us. And we know that, that they love the Lord based on how they treat the flock and how they lead the kids and the youth and the congregation. We do appreciate them so much.
Yes, Lord.
Well, thank you for their wives, and we pray to lift them up too with the pastors.
Yes, Lord.
We know what they mean to the pastors and how much they help them and also help this congregation. We ask to watch over their health, keep them safe in your arms. We ask the thanks in our name. Amen.
Amen. Brent?